Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many are happy to be in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. How can we not be happy, right? After that beautiful time of worship, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. And I bless the worship team, the musicians, the people upstairs. What a blessing. What a blessing. Let us not take it for granted. Let us not take it for granted. Around the world, this doesn't happen in every church and in every place. And we are beyond blessed. And we praise the Lord for this blessing. Hallelujah. I am beyond blessed. I feel so blessed this morning. I thank the Lord for his presence. I thank the Lord because he meets us right where we are. It's so awesome. God meets us right where we are. We're not in the same place. Wherever we may be, it's okay. God meets us there. And he showers us with mercy and grace. Hallelujah. I am so honored and privileged to bring the word this morning. And I am going to invite you. You can remain seated. I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles this morning to the book of John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And I'm going to only read one verse, but I invite you to keep your Bibles open or your apps open to that whole chapter, because we're going to be going through that chapter a little bit. Hallelujah. And we're going to be speaking this morning under the theme, Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus, the bread of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your presence. We just thank you. Thanking you, Lord God, because you meet us where we are. Thanking you, Lord God, because we can feel your presence, Lord God, knowing that you are with us, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you prepare our hearts and our minds to receive your word, Father God, knowing, Lord God, that your word will achieve its purposes for which you send it today, Lord God, that it will fall, Lord, on fertile ground, that we would open our hearts and our minds, Lord God. O Spirit of God, that you would stir up in us a desire for you, a hunger for you, Lord God, like never before, Lord. That this summer, Lord God, we may be, Lord, in seeking you, Lord God, day and night like never before, Lord. And that your word would stir it up in us. Speak to us, God. Thank you, Father, for your word, for this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And you have your Bibles open to John chapter 6, verse 35. One verse there, it says, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. How many can say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We see in this chapter 6 of John is a hard chapter. Hard things happen in this chapter 6 of John. But in this chapter 6 of John, we see in the previous verses, the first part of the chapter, that Jesus performs miracles. He performed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And this miracle, you can find it in every one of the Gospels. The feeding of the 5,000. We see that he walked on water as he met his disciples in the middle of the lake. Here we see that we read that the crowd that was fed when he fed the 5,000 is seeking Jesus and is looking for Jesus, right? Who is not going to look for him? He's giving us free lunch. He did that miracle. So the next day that the crowd witnessed that miracle, they went to Capernaum, we see in this chapter 6, looking for him, searching him. And they find him on the other side of the lake and they ask him, Rabbi, when did you get here? In other words, Jesus, you're here. We're so glad we found you, right? But Jesus, knowing their hearts, right, knowing their minds, he answers them. And this is my paraphrase. He says, you're looking for me because you ate and you had your fill. You're full. And I know that's why you're looking for me. We know that many times, occasionally, we know that many people follow Christ, not necessarily because they love him, not necessarily because they're all sold out for Jesus, but maybe they're looking for his benefits and his blessings, like that song that we sang, right? We're not seeking his blessings, we need Jesus. But this crowd was seeking the blessings. He says, Jesus told them, I know you're looking for the food that I gave. Sometimes people look for the miracles or the miraculous interventions that they can receive from him. But Jesus tells the crowd, and he talking to them, he says, listen, Don't work for food that spoils, but work for look for the food that gives eternal life. Don't look for that food that spoils, but look for the food that gives us eternal life. And at this point, the crowd is interested. They're like, ooh, food for eternal life. That sounds good, right? And they said, what must we do to do the works that God requires? So he's having a conversation, and they're interested. And they say, okay, what do we need to do to get this food for eternal life? That idea that we have to do something to obtain eternal life is not a new concept. We've had it throughout the centuries, right? It's been a false concept that we have to do works to gain God's favor. We have to do things. We have to be perfect to gain, right, the approval of God, or to receive that food that endures for eternal life. But God does not require works. God does not require anything that we can possibly do, but he does require one thing. And he tells him that one thing that he requires. Jesus said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The work of God is faith. Faith to believe in the one that he has sent to us. So he's talking to the crowd. Imagine it with me. Jesus is there. He says, this is the work of God. Believe in the one he has sent. So the crowd then responds to him and they say, well, and if you're following along in verse 30 and 31, they said, okay, then what sign will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Because our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. At this point in the conversation, I feel like Jesus was trying not to roll his eyes. He was like, you're kidding me, right? Because we already saw all the miracles Jesus had done in Capernaum. He's in the region of Galilee. He in this region performed many, many miracles among them. In the scriptures we read that Jesus healed a paralytic. He heals the servant of the centurion who had great faith. He heals a demon-possessed boy. He heals a man in the synagogue that was possessed by an evil spirit. Jesus heals an official's son, a royal official's son. Not to mention, he just fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 breads. So at this point, they say, what sign will you give us? Right here, we're laughing and we're like, oh my God, are they blind? What do you mean, what sign? Haven't they seen everything that Jesus has done? But before we laugh too hard, many times we do the same thing. Many times the same things happen to us. Jesus works for us, on our behalf. Jesus blesses our life. Jesus opens doors. Jesus accompanies us. His presence is with us. He answers prayers. He takes care of the details of our lives time and time again. And when we stop and think and we say, he truly has always been with me. He truly has been there with me. But the minute a problem arises, the minute something doesn't go according to my agenda, the minute something hard arises in our lives, what do we say? God, what will you do so that I can believe? Just like the crowd. We say, God, are you really there? But if we think about it, he has never let us down. He has never let us down. So Jesus is talking to the crowd. They say, what will you do? He responds to them because they said our ancestors, you know, ate bread in the wilderness. And Jesus says in verse 32, very truly I tell you, it was not Moses, because they're looking to Moses. He said, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He says, that bread your ancestors ate in the wilderness was not from Moses, but it was from my Father. And my Father gives the true bread that gives life to the world. And I love that he explains that it wasn't Moses, but God provided. And I love that he says he gives the bread to who?
to the world. It wasn't just for one group of people. It wasn't just for one nation. It wasn't just for a particular person. It was now bread that gives life to the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So at this point, they're like, that's awesome. And it doesn't say that's awesome in the Bible, but that's my words. Verse 34, it says, sir, they said, always give us this bread. They want this bread. They're interested in this bread. I would be too, right? This sounds good. They want the bread. And then it's verse 35, the verse that we read. And Jesus says, yeah, well, listen to this. Jesus declares and he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Hallelujah. Listen, to be hungry and to be thirsty, it's a universal basic human need, right? We all go through it. No matter our status, no matter who we are, where we come from, we all have gone through hunger and through thirst, right? The people hearing this may have thought, well, this is a good deal. This is a good deal never to be hungry or thirsty again. And they ask him and they're like, give us this bread always. Give us this bread. And in this response, in verse 35 that we read, there's three points that we want to focus on today. Now that we know the background, now that we know the situation, there's three points that Jesus declares in his answer. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. There are three points that we want to cover. First, Jesus, in his response, declares who he is. Jesus declares who he is, the bread of life. The second thing, it says that we can come freely to him and never go hungry. And the third thing in that verse is we must believe in him, or we can believe in him and never be thirsty. Praise the Lord. The first point is this. Jesus clearly declares who he is. I am the bread of life. And it's so awesome to think that the creator of the heavens and the earth, he uses a concept so common, a concept that we use in daily life. This item, bread, can be found on the tables of the rich and of the poor. Isn't that awesome? He uses an item that we can all relate to, an item that we can all understand. He doesn't go into these theological terms. He doesn't use mysterious words. He doesn't use philosophies, abstract or lofty ideas. He says and declares something that we can all understand. He says, I am the bread of life. He makes himself accessible to all people. He speaks clearly to the crowd that surrounds him, and he speaks clearly today to all that would hear him. He is the bread of life. Charles Spurgeon says this: Jesus in the flesh becomes our soul's bread. Jesus bleeding on the cross, a substitute for sinner, is our soul's drink. Hallelujah. Jesus takes a metaphor so common to instruct us, to teach us, so that when we are truly seeking him, we can't miss him. We can't miss him. He's not something out of reach, something that we can't understand. He is the bread of life. How many say amen? Spurgeon also said this: Jesus has come down from heaven to keep us from absolute starvation. To keep us from absolute starvation. He is the bread of life. He said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And he did just that. It was his flesh that was tortured, his body that was broken for our sins. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul writes it this way in Colossians chapter 1. He says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your own minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. That's good news. I don't know about you, that's good news for me. Hallelujah. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He is that bread of life. He is the only one who gives eternal life. He's not hiding this truth. He is declaring it so that all may know there's only one way to obtain this eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Many people are their own stumbling blocks. Many people want to overanalyze who Jesus was. They ponder about his claims. They invent their own ideas. They try to figure it out. They misuse scripture. They rely on traditions. They turn to the philosophies of men, and they do not rely on the holy word of God. Jesus said it clearly. Jesus said it plainly. I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says who he is. Are you hungry? Are you hungry today for him? Do you want to know him? Many people are walking around just malnourished in their spirits. Malnourished in their spirits because they're feeding the flesh and not the spirit. But Jesus today offers himself as the bread of life. How many say amen? So Jesus, having this conversation with the crowd, they talk about the things we stated. He responds in verse 35. He declares who he is. I am the bread of life. The second observation here is that we can come freely to him and never go hungry. He who comes to me, isn't that beautiful? He who comes to me will never go hungry. It's an invitation. We all love to be invited. This is an invitation. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And let me tell you, when you come to him, he does not turn anyone away. It's like when you go to your grandma's house on Sunday and you say, Wella, I'm bringing my friend. There's already 15 people there. Don't worry. Where 15 people eat, 16 people eat. Where 16 people eat, 20 people eat. They're like, I'm bringing my friend. I'm bringing so-and-so. And they're like, come on. You know what I'm talking about. We will never be turned away from God's table. Hallelujah. He who comes to me will never go hungry. It's an open invitation. And I love that this invitation says nothing about preparation before coming. There are no actions we need to take before coming. We can just come. It is not about doing, but it's about receiving. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. When we come to him, it's a motion of the heart, right? Not so much a motion of the feet, because many came to Jesus. This crowd came to Jesus seeking the bread and lunch, but they never came to him in truth. They were close, but they never touched him. So it's not necessarily a motion of the feet, but it's a motion of the heart when we come to Jesus. We come to him believing that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Christ who came, who suffered, who died, and who resurrected on the third day, the Christ who forgives me of all my sins and welcomes me into his family. We come to him. When we have this great truth, when we understand this great truth, then he becomes
my desire. Hallelujah. Then we follow him. We willingly submit to his lordship. We choose to obey him when we understand who he is. That he took my place on Calvary. That he was sent from heaven. That he loved me so much. I want to live for him. He is my desire. And my life will live to glorify his name, to exalt his name. How do we do this? Because in church, we're famous for saying, yeah, we glorify the Lord. I want my life to glorify God. God shine through me. And everybody's like, amen, hallelujah. And that's great. But how? Really, how do we do this? How? Through the decisions we make in our lives. The way we act. The way we talk. It's not a big mystery. The way we act. The way we talk. The decisions we make in our lives, our speech, our relationships. This is how God is glorified. It's the little moments of your everyday. It's the little moments of your everyday. It's the big moments of your everyday. It's when you're in conflict with a coworker. It's when somebody hurts your feelings. It's when you flew off the handle in anger. It's when we feel shame and guilt. What do we do with these things? How we handle these things is how we can glorify Christ. What we did today and worshiped him, that's awesome. His presence is here. We are blessed. But more importantly, so what are we going to do when we leave here? When you got to go back to that difficult situation. Or that difficult person, or that difficult job situation, what's waiting for us out there. We praise God here. He ministers to our life. The Holy Spirit reminds us, Becky, you're not alone. You worship me so that when I walk out those doors, my life goal is to glorify the Lord. In every detail of my life, hallelujah, we need to be made new. Ephesians 4 says to be made new in the attitude of your mind and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's when the real work is done, the work of the Spirit in our lives. So when we come to him, Jesus declares, he who comes to me will never go hungry. Listen, we all know, we've seen it on TV. I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak to myself. We say, my God, I'm starving. But are we really starving? No. We don't really know. Well, I don't know about you. I don't know your backstory. I know about me. I haven't really ever in my life been starving. Been hungry, but not starving. The effects of hunger, though, they're horrible. We've seen the commercials. We've seen the ads. We've seen the children and the adults suffering around the globe who really are starving, who really don't have food. Nothing else can happen in their lives. You see that they're sitting there. They're not doing anything else. They can't do anything else because the hunger in their life is so great. Malnutrition sets in and their bodies begin to waste away. That is starvation. And I read that in some very poor countries around the world, what people do to put off hunger is that they'll make clay pies, pies of dirt or mud. And they'll eat that to put off their hunger. Jesus declares that the hunger of our souls will only be satisfied by him. We can be so hungry, soul hungry. There are many who are spiritually malnourished in this world. And when you're that hungry, you look for food anywhere, and you even eat those things which were not meant to be eaten. We have a hunger, a malnutrition in our souls, and humanity over the decades has always looked to satisfy the hunger of the soul in all the wrong places and in all the wrong ways. We look to all kinds of sin
sexual activities, pornography, pride, selfishness, lying, cheating, putting ourselves first, because we're trying to fill that soul hunger. Some people look to things that are not necessarily sins, but are big distractions. Some people look to always be busy. You know that person that always needs to be busy? They got their two cell phones and their planner, and they're running around like a chicken without a head. Trying, those workaholics, trying to fill that soul hunger. Not necessarily a bad thing. Morning people, anything we do in excessive. Excessive sports, excessive entertainment, excessive video games. Just kidding, no. Anything we do excessively to try and fill that soul hunger. People look to false teachings. It's unbelievable the things that we, even on, I'm a big person that hears the news all the time. I like background noise. So if I'm washing dishes or I'm cleaning, my family, I drive them crazy, but I have my 1010 Winds or CBS. I hear the news constantly. And the things sometimes they come up with, the things that people say to try and soothe or try and quell the hunger of their souls is crazy. There's false teachings out there. People look to money. People look to position, wealth, fame, to satisfy that soul hunger. People look to other people, to relationships, to satisfy that soul hunger. And then they're so disappointed when that other person can't provide it. Listen, I'll tell everybody, I love my husband to death. Anybody knows me, anybody knows that I love him so much, with all my heart. As much as I love him, he cannot satisfy my soul hunger, and I can't satisfy his. And it's unfair. It's unfair if I would expect that of him. And then we're disappointed in people. You don't love me enough. We're putting a burden on them that they were never meant to carry. Only Jesus can satisfy that soul hunger. Only Jesus is the only one. No one else. The psalmist writes in Psalms 103, the Lord satisfies your desires with good things. Psalm 63, the psalmist writes, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of food. Psalms 34, 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's the only one that can satisfy that soul hunger. When we come to him, we will never go hungry. And when you've had the real deal, when you've tasted the authentic thing, guess what? Substitutes just don't cut it. Listen, 1 week, you know how New York has their restaurant week? Love restaurant week. So we happen to find this like great deal for a restaurant in the city. And it's a restaurant that we normally cannot go to, way behind the price range. But we're like, yay, it's restaurant week. Let's go. So we went to the Palm in the city, a steakhouse. So good. And we had that steak. Oh, my God, we were happy. The problem is, the restaurant week is not every week. The problem is that every other steak you eat, compare it to the Palm. Is it as good as the Palm? Is it as good as this? Because when you have the real deal, substitutes just don't cut it. Substitute imitations just don't cut it. We need to have the experience that the prophet Ezekiel had when Ezekiel writes in chapter 3 and he says, the Lord said to me, son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll and go and speak to the people of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it. And the prophet says, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Hallelujah. That scroll is the word of God.
We need to eat that scroll. We need to digest that scroll. We need to receive the nutrients the word has to offer us to strengthen our faith, our walk, our minds, our lives. Digesting the word is becoming one with the word, loving the word of God, living and obeying the word of God. Hallelujah. And I love what the prophet says. It wasn't bitter to him, to his palate. It wasn't like trying to force feed someone to eat, I don't know, broccoli. I like broccoli, but I know many don't. It wasn't bitter, but it was sweet as honey. Praise the Lord. We need to be full of the word of God. We need to digest it. We need to fill our stomachs like the Lord told the prophet, because when Satan comes whispering, when Satan comes attacking, he won't be able to sway us. You'll have to tell him, devil, I have eaten the choices of food. I'm not hungry for your lies. I'm not hungry for your deceptions or your discouragement or your distractions. I have eaten the choices of foods and I am full. Hallelujah. When Satan sends storms your way and he wants to attack you because you are full and you have eaten the choicest of foods, you say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am full. I am not going to believe your lies. When he comes to dissuade us, when he comes to steal our peace and to send storms our way, we say the Bible says he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Satan, I will not be distracted. When he comes and he tells you this walk is not worth it, look at all the things you're missing out on. This walk is not worth it. You say, Satan, I'm going to stay in there. Because the Bible says, and Jesus says through his word, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one, not even you, Satan, will take my crown. I am full with the word of God. Hallelujah. He is the bread of life. Whoever comes to me, he says, will never go hungry. It's an invitation. Some will be like the crowd on the outskirts, far from Jesus, hoping that that basket of bread will reach me. We can't be on the outskirts. It's an invitation to come to him, to draw close to him. He says, whoever comes to me, the time to come is now. The time to come is today. The time to draw near to him, it is now. Hallelujah. He is the only one that can satisfy our souls. He is the only one that can give us our fill. He is the only one that can make us whole, and that is Jesus Christ. How many say amen? So we've read and we've heard that Jesus clearly declares who he is. He is the bread of life. Then in his answer, he says, whoever comes to me will never grow hungry. And the third point is, whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Isn't that awesome? Whoever believes in me, and to believe in Jesus is to believe, like I've said many times before, that he is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of all men. And that is a truth that we cannot get tired of saying, because it is the spirit of the Antichrist that wants to deny that truth. We believe that he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. And when the Bible says, he who believes in me, whoever believes in me, it's not just a fact. It's not just a sentence, but it is the one who believes is the one who also trusts. The one who trusts in him. The one who knows that this is true. But not just knows that this is true, but lives like this is true and acts like this is true. The one willing to obey. The one who believes and trusts in him every day, even in difficult situations. The one who believes and trusts when we feel uncomfortable, when things don't go my
my way. When I don't see an out to this, that's what we need to believe. And we need to trust. He has ordered my steps. I am a son, a daughter of the living God. He has me in his loving hands. So when we are in tough times, in difficult situations, confusing times, I don't look to blame other people. I don't look to blame God. But I will trust God because I have believed in him. And I want my life to reflect that fact. How many say amen? I trust. I believe that he conquered death. I believe that he's coming again. I believe that he walks with me, that he leads me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is there. He is my God. Hallelujah. 1 John 3 says this. This is his command. To believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. John also says, yet to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Not everybody is the children of God. I know we have our songs and our things, but we're all children of God. We're not. That's harsh. I know that's harsh. It might even be politically incorrect. Those who believe, those are the children of God. Those who believe are the children of God. I believe he carries my burdens. I believe in him. I can trust him with my family. I can trust him with my job. I can trust him with my spouse. I can trust him with my child. I can trust him with my health. I can trust him with my ministry, with my job, with all that encompasses me. So because I believe, I will look for him as a deer pants for the streams of water. And I will never go thirsty again. Hallelujah. And I will never go thirsty again. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for Jesus? Are you thirsty for him? Not his hands, not his benefits, not his blessings. Are you thirsty for Jesus? Who he is. Hallelujah. Because he will satisfy that thirst. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in the salvation that he has given us. Believe that he loves you and that this very moment he's speaking to your heart and he tells you that he loves you. Believe in him. In verse 35, we read these three things. Jesus declares clearly who he is, the bread of life. Number two, we can come freely to him and never go hungry. Number three, we must believe in him and never be thirsty. Isn't that awesome? And as I get ready to conclude, I'm going to invite the musicians forward. But I just want to tell you that if you continue reading this chapter 6, the dialogue continues with the crowd, right? So Jesus tells the crowd in verse 21, and he says this, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. When he said that, the Bible says that the people started to argue sharply. And they said, and they asked, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And they started to argue. And Jesus doesn't let up, though. He keeps pushing. This is why it's a hard chapter. And Jesus said, very truly, I tell you this, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And then around verse 60, they're like, this is my paraphrase, dag, that's harsh. They were like, who can believe this? Who can accept this? They were disturbed by what he was saying. And then verse 66 says this, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Up to this point in Jesus' ministry, he had a lot of disciples, a lot of people following him. But this teaching drew a line in the sand. This teaching drew a line in the sand for many people. Many people could not accept this. And the Bible says that they no longer followed him. It is the question that is before us today as well. It is the question that is before us today as well, or the statement that is before. Will you participate? Will you partake in Christ? Hallelujah. Then he turns to the 12 and he looks at them and he says, you don't want to leave me too, do you? In verse 67, he says, do you want to leave me too? That's the question for us. Are we going to partake with him, or are we going to walk away like many people did? Are we willing to stand for him, to believe in him, to believe that he loves us, that he died for us, to believe and to walk with him and all that that encompasses? Are we willing to obey, not just to be near him, not to be on the fringes, not to jump in and out when it's convenient, but to partake with Christ? Can we say like Paul said in Philippians, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and then the participation of his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Can we say that like Paul? Jesus asked the 12, do you want to leave too? Do you want to leave too? And I love what Simon Peter says. Simon Peter, in the next verse, in 68, he says this, Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. You are the Holy One of God. To whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? Back to our sinful life? Back to Egypt? Back to my addictions? Back to brokenness? Back to hatred and jealousy? Where are we going to go? To whom, Lord? Listen, once you've had the real deal, once you've tasted the authenticity of Christ, the love of Jesus, there's just no going back. Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe that you are the Holy One of God. He declares who he is. I am the bread of life. He gives us an invitation. Come to me and you'll never go hungry. Believe in me and you will never go thirsty. Let us stand to our feet. The question is, have you tasted the bread of life? The question is, have you nourished your soul? That soul hunger that you have. That soul hunger that is within you. And listen, everybody got their own story. Nobody here can say, I haven't tried to fill that with something incorrect. We all have. Every single one of us has. We've tried to fill it with things that do us more bad than good. But today is a new day. Today is the day of the Lord. Today is the day where the Lord says, listen, come to me. Come to me. You will never go hungry. You will never thirst. Your soul will be in my hands. Your life is in my hands. Are you thirsty? Do you need refreshing? Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in his love. Receive his forgiveness. Repent and say, Lord, I did it wrong. I tried to fill my soul hunger with things that were never meant to be eaten, Lord. But now I lay it at your feet, God, and I want to walk and trust and live and serve you. Praise the Lord. Receive his refreshing in this day. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your presence in the name of Jesus. Father God, you, Lord God, who fill our souls, Lord God, who quell the hunger of our souls, who satisfies our thirst, only you, only you, only you, forgive us, God. Forgive us for the times, Lord God, that we've tried to do it in other ways and with other things and put people in your place, Lord God. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that today, Lord, we would decide and we would choose. And we would say, Lord, where can we go? go? To whom shall we go? Only you, God, have the words of eternal life. We believe that you are the Holy One of God. We declare it today, O Lord. I pray that this word, Lord God, would just take root in our hearts. Lord, that we would remember that you are the bread of life, that you are the word of life, that you give life, that you make this life worth living, Lord. And then you will one day take us into glory. I thank you for your promises. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the good work that you are doing in each and every one of our lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, thank you. As the worship team sings this song, and if you say, Lord, I have a soul hunger and I need you, and we all do, we all have that vacuum, that hole, right, that God-shaped vacuum in our heart, and you say, Lord, I want to trust. It might be hard. Maybe you're not sold 100%. It's okay. It's okay. Just open the door to the possibility that maybe God does love me. If you need to digest this word, if you need the Spirit of God, because it does take the Spirit of God. These people says this is a hard teaching. Who can accept this? But when you allow the Spirit of God to minister, you can digest the word. You can accept the word. The altar is open. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the altar is open for the salvation of your soul, that he would satisfy your hunger and quench your thirst. But if you are saved and you say, Lord, I just need more of you. I need the nourishment, Lord God, that you need to give me. I have a hard week. I'm in a hard season. I need direction. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I will nourish. I will sustain you. I will guide you and I will bless you. I am the bread of life. And we can never lose when we are with him. God bless you and God keep you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.